Welcome to Intuitive Transformations with your host, Sylvia Henderson, and discover tools, wisdom, and inspiration that will empower you to transform your life. Sylvia is an intuitive life coach and energy healer with a growing practice that is focused on empowering others to be more of who they want to be. For the next hour, join Sylvia and explore and unravel anything in the way of you creating the life that you would love to live on the Om Times Radio Network.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intuitive Transformations radio show, where you will find tools you can use to change and transform your life right here on the Om Times Radio Network, the voice of consciousness at omtimes.com. I'm Sylvia Henderson, your host, and I am an intuitive and an energy healer in Kirkland, Washington. My work focuses on restoring the connection between you and your soul's inner light so that you can create a life that you truly enjoy living. Now, the processes that I use, they're unique and they're holistic, and yet they're very, very effective. And if you would like to learn more about me and the work that I do, then please be sure to visit my website, intuitivetransformations.net, right after the show. Now, for those of you who are sensitive to the subtle yet powerful shifts of our moon and other planets, I just want to share something very briefly before I invite my guest for today to join me. And that is that last week may have been a bit challenging for you. And I'm saying this because it was really challenging for me. And then when I did some research, I realized why. As we entered into this partial lunar eclipse that occurred just a few days ago on Friday, it really started to bring more of our old junk up to the surface. So if you've noticed any old uncomfortable emotions or thoughts resurfacing over the last few days or even last week that you had not felt in a very long time, I just want you to keep in mind that it's just more of that old story, the old emotional baggage being revealed at your level of consciousness so that you can release it and clear it out of your physical body as well as your energetic bodies too. And I know that especially for those of you who are empaths like myself, it can be really difficult to sit with those emotional tidal waves that sometimes come out of nowhere because they're pretty consuming when it happens, and because we tend to feel so deeply being empaths. But I just want to remind you, it's just old emotional collateral damage clearing out, leaving more room and space for you to be happier, healthier, and more joyful. Now, as I shared on previous shows, there is a lot of light that is surrounding Mother Earth right now that's very high vibrational, and it's exposing the underbelly of our souls and everything that was previously hidden in the shadows. So as this light continues to illuminate what's been hidden within the consciousness of mankind on a collective and an individual level, these purging processes will eventually get so much easier, and our lives will eventually get easier as well. So I just hope that that message is reassuring for all of you out there listening who are wondering, what is going on? Why am I emotional mess this week? Or why do I feel so overwhelmed? Or even just really tired and fatigued? That could be something else that's going on. I just want to remind you that everyone is awakening right now to our authentic truth. Versus what we were taught to believe is true about who and what we are. So with that said, I am so incredibly grateful and excited about today's show as I get to share with you what I believe will be a fascinating conversation with Dr. Rajiv Pardi about his near-death experience back in 2010, which completely and utterly transformed his life and allowed him to create a new approach to healing called consciousness-based healing. So before I bring Dr. Pardi on the show, let me tell you a little bit about him. Dr. Rajiv Pardi is a world-renowned cardiac anesthesiologist and was chief of anesthesiology at Bakersfield Heart Hospital for more than a decade before having his life-changing near-death experience. Dr. Pardee's study in complementary and alternative medicine has led him to formulate an integrative approach to total wellness. He tours the country now extensively, holding workshops to demonstrate methods of healing to help others overcome addiction, depression, and chronic pain. Dr. Rajiv Pardee is also the co-author of his soon-to-be-released book, Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back, which tells Dr. Pardee's story about his near-death experience and how it has transformed his life by this encounter with this beautiful being of light. And also, I just wanted to let you know that the co-author, Paul Perry, recently wrote an article for the August 10th edition of Time Magazine, which provides an overview of Dr. Pardee's near-death experience there as well. So I know that his book is releasing in just 2 days on August 23rd, and I really want to invite and encourage you all to get onto Amazon.com after the show is over so you can order your copy, because trust me, once you listen to his story, it will open up a whole nother level of understanding within you. Even if you've always believed in the afterlife or always believed in past lives, it's just so wonderful and rewarding to hear it firsthand from someone who's walked through that experience. So without further ado, I'm very happy to say that Dr. Pardee is here with me today, and welcome Dr. Pardee to the show, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sylvia. I'm very excited, too.
Oh, this is fabulous. So as I shared before we came on the air, I just finished reading your book today. And Dr. Pardee, your story is heart-opening. It's absolutely incredible. I have to tell you, there were moments when I was reading your book where it actually brought tears to my eyes, because I could feel the authenticity of it. I mean, the beautiful love letter you wrote to your wife. There's so much in there that is so captivating because it resonates as absolute truth. And so you really are a different person now than you were before you had your near-death experience. And so for the sake of those who are listening who don't even know what a near-death experience is, I doubt there's many of you out there, but if you are, Dr. Pardee, would you mind sharing just very briefly what a near-death experience actually is, and then maybe share some of your story as well?
You know, near-death experience, in short called NDE, was a term which was coined by Dr. Raymond Moody, I think in 1970s or late 80s. And it's about the person who has temporarily died or is near death, or is sometimes it happens without death really happening, but they have a big sensation going to different realms. And the key thing is, it changes the person's life. In general, they all become very generous, and their perspective in life totally shifts. You know, if you want to compare it with a dream or a hallucination, that's the key thing, transformation.
Okay, that's a very key component, because that really does distill the mindset out there that, oh, people are having a hallucination, that it's kind of a delusional thought form that they're experiencing because of anesthesia. What you're saying is that the real hallmark is that their life actually transform and change.
Yeah, and, you know, more people are experiencing nowadays, because I have resuscitated people myself who have been flatlined. Mm-hmm. And they came back, and, you know, like I talk about in my book, the first chapter, The Frozen Man, that happened during a special kind of heart surgery where we take the aorta is the main vessel which comes of the heart to oxygenated blood. See, normally in a bypass heart surgery, we put the patient on bypass pump. So there is blood flowing through the brain. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, we literally froze the patient, and there was no blood flowing to the brain. So that patient described me what now I realize was the NDE, and I thought he's psychotic, and I gave him a Haldol, an antipsychotic shot.
Right, because you know, the anesthesiologist is the first person to visit someone coming out of surgery, and so you were his first person that he could even share this experience that he had, and you at the time had not had your experience, so you thought, oh, this is, you know, if there's no scientific evidence, it can't be happening, right?
Yeah, because, you know, there was no blood going through his brain for about 45 minutes.
Mm. So when you had your near-death experience, this was kind of a symphony of experiences that began with you getting a diagnosis of prostate cancer, correct?
Exactly. That diagnosis happened in August of 2008, and I live in Bakersfield, California, and it was very shocking. I think I was 53 that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having tea in our backyard when my urologist called. And then to get it done laparoscopically, you know, making small holes in the belly, I flew all the way to Florida to have it done. It's called radical prostatectomy,
wow,
where they take the whole prostate out.
Wow. And so you were under the impression that you, at the time, you were hopeful you weren't going to have a lot of problems and complications after that surgery, but unfortunately some of your biggest fears began to manifest in terms of you know, how it changed your ability to stay continent. So you ended up having another surgery to help with that issue, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, one was incontinence. The second thing was like where the anastomosis was, where they put the urine tube, urethra back,
mm-hmm,
that was getting repeatedly scarred. So I had to get a laser surgery to get, or a cold knife surgery to get, remove the scar. So total, I had 7 surgeries.
Wow.
And
wow,
that, they put me on, I developed chronic pelvic pain, and they put me on pain medications, and the same pain medications I used to write to my clients, to my patients in my pain management practice.
Wow. So you were prescribed. This is okay. I'm sorry. We're going into a break. I was a little spellbound because I was getting into this story. We'll return in just a moment with Dr. Rajiv Pardee and more of his story about his journey and his near-death experience. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at devlivemedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sylvia Henderson on the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show. And today I have with me a very special guest. His name is Dr. Rajiv Pardee, and he is the co-author of a book called Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back. And this is the true account of Dr. Pardee's near-death experience, as well as how it really transformed his life and created a brand new body of work called Consciousness Healing. So, Dr. Pardee, before we went to the break, you were sharing a little bit of your story about how you had gone to Florida to have this very specific surgery done to remove your entire prostate because you had prostate cancer. And after that, you had a total of 7 surgeries. It was your 7th surgery that led to the near-death experience. And that was in 2010, Christmas Eve, if I'm correct.
December of around Christmas 2010, exactly.
Okay. And then, so what were the events that led up to your emergency surgery? You had some pain, and then what happened?
So exactly. So I saw a doctor at UCLA, professor of urology, mm-hmm. in the University of California in Los Angeles. And he recommended that I get a surgery done where they implant a what is known as artificial urethral sphincter so I can control my bladder. So that surgery was done in the early part of December 2010. You know, my luck has it, you know, like after surgery, a few days later, I started developing high fever, a lot of redness in my pelvic area and lower abdomen, and I was shivering like a leaf. Basically, I was getting very sick from post-surgical infection. And originally, they tried heavy-duty antibiotics, oral, and then IV, gentamicin, vancomycin. I was still in Bakersfield because UCLA is about 110 miles from my home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not improving. So the doctor told me to come to UCLA, and my wife drove, you know, crying. I think it was even the nighttime, crying. And I was also in panic that this is my last night, something like that. So then to get rid of the source of infection, which was now the artificial device they placed, they had to do an emergency surgery to remove the device. And when they opened me up, there was lots and lots of explosive, the surgeon used the word explosive, dirty fluid.
Wow.
You know, pus. Yeah.
And so then as you were in this surgery, At one point during your surgery, you became aware that your consciousness began to lift upwards toward the ceiling of your operating room. Can you share a little bit about that experience?
Exactly. You know, because every operating room has a clock. It must be about 20 minutes after I was wheeled into the operating room.
Mm-hmm.
I felt myself, I could see my body being cut open. I could smell while I was near the ceiling, you know, and that really shocked me, you know, because I, as an anesthesiologist, know that there are different drugs, like especially ketamine, which is like a PCP,
mm-hmm.
and it's a dissociative anesthesia, but we rarely, rarely use in adults, and I checked the records later, there was no ketamine used, that I was outside my body. But I could hear, I could see, all the senses were intact. And I even heard the anesthesiologist tell a joke, which was a dirty joke. I could not write it in the book. You know, I remember my life as an anesthesiologist because we needed to know some jokes to keep the atmosphere in the operating room light.
Makes sense. Especially in the hospital where you were working, which was a hospital that specialized in
heart-related
surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
So then you had this experience of lifting up, and then the next thing, you had an awareness that maybe you had died and maybe you were going to go to hell. Is that correct?
You know, from there, my consciousness traveled, or sometimes it felt like travel, or sometimes I was just there, you know, like Star Wars, beam me, Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to a realm, you know, actually first I saw my mother and sister in India. And from there, I went to a realm where it was dark, thunderstorm, and at the same time, fire was raging, and I could hear souls crying and, you know, wailing. And it was on the rim of that area where my first reaction was, why am I here? And when I was asking for why am I here and I was asking for help, the realization I was given that so far my life has always been me first. You know, what can I get from this person? How can I make more money? You know, patients were not just human beings, but a source to make money. I was very good technically. Mm-hmm. That's why I became the chief. But I didn't have that heart-to-heart connection with my patients.
Wow. So you had this awareness. Your father came into the scene.
And that was really shocking because my father had died about 30 years ago about complications from heart surgery in Fresno, California.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very complex relationship with him. He used to physically abuse me because he was born in the time when India and Pakistan became two countries and there was genocide on both sides, Hindu killing Muslims, Muslims killing Hindus. And my family was Hindu, but stuck in the Pakistan side of the new countries. So he had to hide among dead bodies to come to India.
He had a very tough experience.
Well, you know, in modern terms, I think he suffered all his life from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
That makes sense.
And he took that on me, mm-hmm. You know, me being the eldest and the only son.
And so you had these life reviews that happened, experiences with your father, and then even some experiences that were not of this lifetime, this incarnation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, life reviews I had, you know, like it was, I call it a third-person panoramic life review 360. The main thing was I could feel what the other person was feeling. Good or bad. If I made somebody angry or I was mean to somebody, how they were feeling. So I could see the effects of what I was doing. And it was not just always bad. It was good also.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a review of my two past lives. And those two past lives made total sense. One especially was that I was a cruel prince in medieval times. And I can see the poor farmers in brown tattered clothes, and I was whipping them with a cane, so were my soldiers. And incidentally, I used to have pain in my right wrist, for which I needed about 3 surgeries. I had torn a cartilage, and at one time I was not able to work for 6 months. And then I asked forgiveness from the farmers, and they forgave me, and the pain never returned. And now you may find it strange that how can you go back and ask forgiveness. I was discussing with Dr. Moody, and because in the other realm, past, present, and future are happening at the same time. You know, there's not always a linear time.
And I love having that conversation about time because I have always felt that the linear concept of time was pretty much tied to this third dimensional reality, but that truly all time, past, present, and future, are happening right now in the moment.
Yeah.
And I also read in your book when you were talking about time, about how sometimes it could even go circular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this must have been, I know it was a surreal experience for you, but I mean, these concepts are concepts that you've had to try to integrate and understand and rationalize. And so one of the next things that happened for you after this life review and past life review and healing, actually, it sounds like what occurred, is that you then, it was that tunnel of light that is so very typical of how people describe a near-death experience, where there's a dark tunnel and a light at the end of it. And so your father initially led you to that tunnel, if I believe correctly. Is that correct?
Exactly. And he was holding me like a little boy. And he looked much, much younger. And main thing was I realized that he loved me a lot, but he could not express it.
So he could not express it in his lifetime when he was your physical father.
Yeah, and he was physically abusive. And actually, his father was physically abusive to him. So I, in turn, was not physically abusive, but verbally I was pretty strict and abusive to my elder son. So this near-death experience literally cured 3 generations of abusive nature, which was continuing.
I love that. That is such a beautiful story to hear how you yourself observe this, but it had a ripple effect in both directions. So that's just beautiful. So I also want to talk a little bit more about this tunnel and the light, because you were joined by 2 archangels as you began to journey.
On the other side of the tunnel, I was greeted by 2 robust young men, and, you know, some like British complexion. And I knew about angels, but I didn't know the names. You know, I've been in U.S. I came in 82, so quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was born and raised as a Hindu. I didn't practice it, but, you know, I did do the festivals. And they telepathically told me they were my archangels. And later on, and it made sense to me, because especially Raphael is angel or the patron saint for doctors and healers and helps with healing.
Yes.
And then there's Michael for strength, for truth, for authenticity. And actually my favorite angel right now is Angel Gabriel.
Why did I know you were going to say that? He's one of my favorite as well. And he helps with communication, so he's got a great job.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Exactly. We'll return in just a moment, everyone, and we'll continue this lovely conversation with Dr. Raj Tripathi. Please stay tuned for more. We'll be back in a moment.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. How would you like to meet an endangered manatee? You can by joining Save the Manatee Club's Adopt the Manatee program. You can't take them home, but you can get to know your new manatee friend through the photo, biography, and information the club sends to you. And you can read updates on your manatee in the club newsletter. More importantly, your contribution goes to programs that are working to save manatees from extinction. It's easy to help. Call 1-800-432-JOIN.
Welcome back. This is Sylvia Henderson with Dr. Rajiv Pardee, and we're talking about his near-death experience, which is well documented in his brand new book, Dying to Wake Up, which releases on Tuesday, August 23rd. You can pre-order that at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com so that that copy is waiting for you when you come home from work on Tuesday, because it's definitely something that you can give to someone in your family or who has maybe lost someone or maybe even yourself, you know, to help you move through that whole process of understanding that we don't really die. We might lose physical form, but our soul or spirit continues on. It's an eternal essence. It never, ever dies. It just changes shape. So Dr. Pardee, we were talking before the break about the archangels that joined you, and I loved how you said now you're really in love with Archangel Gabriel, although I know you're in love with all of them, because he is the archangel known for communication. And in your book, several times you mentioned how you had a fear of public speaking, and here you are on the radio and with so much more ahead in your future as this book releases. I'm sure there'll be some TV appearances as well, so it'll be nice to have him sitting right next to you when you go through that.
Exactly. I view him as not him, because some people say it's her, so I like her as her.
Okay. Her, him. They're really not a gender, are they, or are they?
They really don't have a gender.
Yeah, it's whatever we get attached to.
Yeah.
So I do want to talk a little bit more about you moving forward toward the light, which you described as a being of light. And this is the first near-death experience I've read or heard of, and it's not like I've read all of them, but that define the light as a being, an actual being with consciousness of light, versus just this feeling of love that many people have described in the past. And so as you were moving toward this, which Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael said, in order to move higher through the tunnel, that you needed to, you had to choose your thoughts very carefully or something like that. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, like they guided me, and I have in front of my eyes right now beautiful, you know, very vibrant colors. And, you know, it was, had an aura of very sweet but gentle aura. And it was like 1,000 suns, but it was not hurting the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing is that after my near-death experience, I dove deep into spirituality, like I had done when I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my near-death experience of the light was exactly as described in the Indian book Bhagavad Gita. You know, it's the Indian holy book,
mm-hmm.
where Arjuna and Krishna is considered to be God incarnate. And Krishna shows Arjuna his universal form, and there was this bright light. And you could see the universe is coming and going. So in that presence of that light, myself, I felt like I'm part of the light, but at the same time, I'm separate from the light. I was both at the same time.
Wow. So this, to me, really speaks to the mindset of that we really are all one.
Yeah. So, you know, like So I discovered or reformulated the what I call 7 eternal truths, which kind of form the basis for the consciousness-based healing and also living a total, wholesome life.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I do have in front of me the 7 basic truths that you received in meditation. Because you do still continue to have communication with Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, as well as many other angels, including Gabriel.
And my father.
And your father as well. So he's like a spiritual guide for you then.
No, yeah. As I said, you know, it repaired my relationship with him.
Oh, beautiful. So during your meditation practice, you were giving these founding concepts of what you call the near-death manifesto.
Exactly.
And the first one is consciousness can exist outside the body. So that was a big aha awareness for you.
Yeah, because so far as a doctor, Western-trained doctor, you know, we are randomly, you know, chemical reactions.
Mm.
You know, this is this body and that's it. You know, and the life started randomly. You know, some proteins got formed in a hot soup in the ocean and somehow we came into being.
So that's science point of view, and now you have a deeper, broader awareness because you've actually experienced this as a truth yourself, having experienced
exactly.
yourself as consciousness outside of the body. And then the second one is that there's life after death, which we know that's we have past lives and our experiences therein can shape certain realities. We are all connected to each other because we are all made of the one and same energy that manifests a differentiated matter, which is what you shared earlier about the light, feeling of the light, but separate in the same
and
time.
And we all are the waves, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that divine beings exist to help and guide us, such as angels and other helpers, and that there are different levels of consciousness. What did you mean by different levels of consciousness?
You know, I'm... Different levels of consciousness, you know, like the sleeping, dreaming, and awake. We all, you know, even animals have these three.
Mm-hmm.
And now, there are higher levels. First is transcendental, you know, where you transcend these three levels by deep meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the divine, cosmic, and unitary, where unitary is the highest level of consciousness where there's no form, there's nothing but pure consciousness. Because like in the earlier, you will meet Buddha or Krishna and angels, they're at a lower than the absolute unitary consciousness. Actually, I had another spiritual experience where actually beyond the light, there is what the Buddhists call shunyata, which is zeroness. You know, from where everything has come.
So that's the dark void, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And even the science says that, you know, like the Big Bang happened in the dark void.
Exactly, exactly.
From nothingness, everything has come from nothingness.
Well, it's interesting because my background is in Judeo-Christianity, and I think about that first chapter in the Bible that says, and then God said, let there be light. And that to me is when light and vibration, being sound, first converged to begin to form matter.
Exactly. Another thing I like from Judeo-Christian background is the word thing, you know, where you say the first there was the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I could hear in my light being present a distant sound like Om.
Right, right. And I've read other accounts of near-death experiences where they've also had a similar sound vibration that they experienced, which, you know, you think of the Buddhists and how Om is that singular sound that is supposed to be the core root of where everything else is sprung from.
Yeah, you know, like if from that level of consciousness, there is no Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam, we are all one. You know,
yeah.
We all spiritual, you know, like what was that? We all spiritual beings having a divine experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. So, and then number seven, the last one, I just want to cover that for those who are counting the numbers because there are seven
know,
in this
yeah.
manifesto. And that is, there is one all-pervading supreme love and intelligence that is the source of the entire universe. And that love is the supreme source of creation. And to me, that sums it all up. That unconditional love, that all-allowing, all-accepting love that has no judgment within it is the supreme source of creation.
Exactly, the highest level of consciousness, yeah.
Yeah. So based upon those founding concepts that you were given, can you talk a little bit about what consciousness-based healing is?
You know, I'm reminded of Albert Einstein's saying, you know, I'm paraphrasing it, that a solution to a problem cannot be found at the level of the consciousness where that problem was created.
Mm-hmm.
So if you elevate your level of consciousness, then a lot of problems like depression, addiction, unfulfillment, they fall away. Like Maharishi, a yogi who came to India from India to U.S. and taught transcendental meditation, and I followed the same thing, that I never tell my clients to give up smoking or drinking. I say practice three things, meditation, prayer, and service. And as the level of consciousness rises, the things which are not serving us automatically fall off. You know, relationships automatically fall off. And synchronicity starts happening. You know, things where you never expected a door to open, a door will open. And once, you know, I was meeting Dr. Deepak Chopra, and he told me, if you are on the right spiritual path, literally you will have a lot of synchronistic events, like me meeting Paul Perry or getting this book out. For me, it's a gift and from divine. I'm really, really thankful. And like somebody said, if the only prayer you could do was say thank you the whole day, that will be enough.
Yeah.
I think it was Dalai Lama who said.
Yeah. That is gratitude is a powerful, powerful transformational prayer. So I totally agree with you on that. Well, so in your consciousness-based healing, one of the things that you strongly advocate is meditation. And in your book, you've provided two very lovely meditations that you offer. One is centered around forgiveness, which is, to me, a cornerstone for all healing. It's forgiving the past. It's letting go of those perceptions or those misinterpretations of what has happened. The other thing that you advocate, of course, is prayer. But what else goes into the consciousness-based healing? Is it the service? Is that the third component?
Yeah.
Okay. When we return, we'll have more with Dr. Pardee. We'll be back in just a moment as we head off to another break. Please stay tuned. More to come.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much,
for taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for taking you to your therapies, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving, brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Intuitive Transformations Radio on OMTimes.com. I'm Sylvia Henderson with my guest, Dr. Rajiv Pardee, and we're talking about his brand new book, Dying to Wake Up, which he co-authored with Paul Perry. So, Dr. Pardee, before we went to the break, we were talking about those three cornerstones of consciousness-based healing being meditation, prayer, which is really a prayer of gratitude more than anything, and then service to humankind. And so in the way that you work with clients, is it prescriptive and individualized, or is this just three corners?
It's both in the workshops too and individualized too. And, you know, like service, actually I define not just working on weekends or sometime in the soup kitchen, or the homeless, and it is not just limited to humanity. It, for me, it is unlimited to the earth, to the animals, to the plants, to everything. And like in my case, before my near-death experience, I used to have a Hummer, you know, gas guzzler, 8 miles a gallon. I could afford it, so I didn't care for the environment. And now I have a Camry hybrid, so my life literally and figuratively went from Hummer to hybrid.
Well, actually, your life changed even more than that, because you lived in this enormous mansion and you sold that. You sold off your big expensive cars, and like you said, you went from Hummer to hybrid. You also closed your practice as an anesthesiologist to...
I did for 25, 30 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now you've opened a wellness center that focuses on your consciousness-based healing. And so, obviously, you are definitely classified as a near-death experience where your life has changed, but not just changed, like 360-degree change. Your relationship with your family changed. You healed the relationship with your son. And I mean, how are things now in your family? How are things just continuing to get better and better?
Oh, yeah. The things, you know, like I've been married next February, it'll be 30 years.
Oh,
like
congratulations.
Thank you. And like in every couple, you know, like, you know, we still have arguments, but the quality and the depth of relationship has changed, you know. And especially with my eldest son, it was very healing.
Mm.
You know, like I kind of forced him to go to medical school, and he went there for 7 years, then dropped out. And I was originally would have been very mad and angry, but now he's in computers. I'm okay with that.
Mm. And he's happier.
And he is happier. Similarly, my daughter, you know, I'm a Hindu, and as I told you briefly about my relationship with Muslims, you know, my father was, abused by them, so I was against Muslims, and my daughter was dating a Muslim person, a boyfriend. I was very angry, but now I accept him, and he's such a nice guy.
Mm.
Not only that, when I was going to hire somebody for my pain practice, a doctor, he was a Muslim. I threw his application away, but then I remembered, and I hired him, and he turned out to be such a nice person, Dr. Kazi. You know, like in my pain management practice, you know, I had three physicians, me, a Hindu, then Dr. Kazi, a Muslim, and then Dr. Palencia, a Christian. So we were, you know, United Nations there, and we function very well. That's why I believe everybody, why can't we all get along?
Yeah. Right, because we really are, we're all made from the same stuff, folks. We're all made from this divine, universal consciousness of unconditional love. And we might be wearing different clothing we call our body, but inside we're all just light beings, truly. So, Dr. Pardee, I know that some other things changed significantly for you because you were also addicted to pain medications, and you also suffered from depression quite a bit. And so one of the things
They all improved.
And you were instructed actually on how to heal yourself from depression by looking at yourself as having two opposing personalities that you called, one was called Lucky Rajiv and the other one was called Poor Rajiv. And
exactly.
So how was that helpful for you?
You know, actually, later on I found out a lot of psychologists use this as the part theory. You know, like everyone has different parts, and sometimes one part is in the driver's seat and sometimes the other part is in the driver's seat. And what I'm realizing and experiencing, to have the core consciousness in the driver's seat and let the other parts come and go. You know, the witnessing, the pure who we really are. Pure consciousness, you know, what I describe is called in Sanskrit, Satchitananda, truth, consciousness, and bliss. That's what a real nature is.
That is beautiful. And one of the other things that I wanted to bring up was not just this ability to reach into bliss, but really how we get there is when we let go of our judgments and our prejudices, which prejudice really just means prejudgment. And that's what happened with you and your daughter's boyfriend, as well as the painter that you hired, and just really how it's evolved in many aspects of your life, I believe.
Exactly. That's so true. You know, like my relationships have changed so much, you know. You know, like I once wrote a blog, you know, look beyond labels. You know, like, you know, we should not be saying, oh, he's a Hindu, he's a Muslim, he's a Christian, or he's black, he's yellow, or, you know, we just put labels. But deep inside, we all are one. We are same. You know, you cut a black person or a white person or a brown person, your blood is still red.
Exactly. Exactly. So can you also talk about forgive, love, heal, which
yeah,
you highlight in your book?
Yeah. And, you know, forgiveness is very big for me. And hardest forgiveness is to forgive your own self.
Isn't that true?
That is, you know, you can. And forgiveness is not that you're forgiving somebody for what they did has become right now. No, what they did was wrong. You're not condoning it, but you're getting rid of the baggage, the charge which it brings up. Like if somebody was abused as a child, you know, sexually, physically, or like that, that person may be having a good time in Hawaii, and here we are sitting in the room and crying. So it is for our sake we bring up forgiveness, and there are different ways of doing it. Like I wrote letters to my father, to myself, even God. I was mad at God, you know, why did my life have to change? Why did I get cancer? Why did I have this, that? And then I burned those letters, because part of my culture says, you know, in the smoke, the prayers go to the heavens.
Mm-hmm. And then what about love? And so forgive first, and then the love comes, and then we heal?
Yeah, and the love is also, you know, the part of love I'm talking about is like self-love, compassionate, you know, loving kindness, and to be compassionate to our own self.
And I love how you use the word compassionate and compassion, because the word love on many levels has kind of been sullied, or I don't know if that's the right word, but it's been distorted, because everyone has a different definition of what love is and what it means to them, but everyone understands compassion.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and to have self-compassion, you know, like if one is hurting, you know, one can concentrate what feelings are coming up in your heart, and what do you need? What is the need which is not being fulfilled?
Yeah.
And if that need was fulfilled, how would you feel? And the best thing is to give that need being fulfilled by your own self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I imagine my nickname is Bittu, and I imagine like me being a father or being a mentor to my little self. You know, like I'm you know, like to love my little Raj. Yeah.
That's so important, that inner child work, because that inner child did not get everything that it really needed to get so that it could forgive itself, love itself, and then consequently heal itself and you as an adult. So That's really beautiful.
Parent yourself. You know?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. I can't believe that we just have a few more minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that everyone knows how they can stay in touch with you, get on your mailing list. I know that you have a website that is www.dyingtowakeup.com. That's dyingtowakeup.com. Or is it drrajivparty.com? Is that correct?
It's drrajivparty.com. Or to make it very simple, I also have the URL drparty.com. And I say party like party instead of Y, spell it with I because my origin is Indian.
Right. So party is P-A-R-T-I. So drdrparty.com. But dyingtowakeup.com as well. And do you have any upcoming events, Dr. Party?
Yeah, I'm talking, I just came back from Montreal last week. I'm talking about that 5D event in Berkeley in middle of September. And I'm talking, on 9th September in Denver on a Mind, Body, Soul Expo. So quite a few things out there.
Great. And is all of that information on your website by any chance?
Yeah, that is on my website.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I do have another question for you, Dr. Party. So in doing your work, do you work with your clients for like an hour, or how do people?
Usually an hour, and I'll give the example of anesthesia. If somebody needs a leg surgery,
mm-hmm.
there are five things I can do, four or five. I can do spinal anesthesia, I can do epidural anesthesia, I can do a local nerve block, or I can do a general anesthesia, depending upon the situation. There's not one thing fits all. Similarly, depending on the client, somebody may need a
Keep going. So there may be different options that you have for them, basically.
Exactly.
Dr. Party, thank you so much for being on the show. You've been an absolute delight. Everyone, go out and buy his book, Dying to Wake Up. I'll be back again next week for more of Intuitive Transformations on Om Times Radio. See you soon.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Dr.